Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Be'ezras Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 485. So we're in said lesson 8 of the book Binyan Abayis, Art of Harmony. We talked about now accepting lacks, how to handle the idea that no one is perfect and that everyone has character flaws, and how to handle it. And there's different approaches on how to handle those things. The first approach is to recognize that it's all min hashamayim. And again, when we say it's all min hashamayim, the disclaimer I always say, when you're dealing with real serious abuse type of things, yes, it's all min hashamayim, but sometimes the Torah is mechayev, once you're in a matziv, and to ask for help, get the proper, appropriate hadracha, and many times in those severe situations, you're told to get out as quickly as possible and all of that. So there are exceptions to these rules in the permanency of it, but we're talking about 95% of the time where really we're dealing with normal character flaws that everyone has and needs to work on, and we come in recognizing after a while, oh, my husband has this, my wife has this, and they all get broken and disoriented and upset. And knowing that it's all min hashamayim does help. There's an amazing story that I'm just going to say here. From this amazing story, you'll see that behind the scenes, some of this story could apply to all of us in shamayim. There's a story about the stipler, an amazing story. The stipler taught that the best way to accept real lacks in one's spouse is to recognize that it's all from Hashem and it's actually for the best. The stipler explained that Hashgacha Pratis led every person to their spouse with the precise problem that will bring them the greatest completion in the next world. This can be seen in the words of the Maral. We mentioned it in Nagdama, that Hashem's matchmaking is completed to Kriyas Yamsuf, and he calls it the Pella, something amazing. So Rav Moshe Shacharowitz says as follows: I personally learned this lesson when I was approached by a young Avreich who had been married for several months and wanted a divorce because he felt that his marriage was a clear mistake and he was intentionally deceived by the Shadchan. At first, I thought this was a regular young man overreacting at an unexpected dimension in his wife, you know, like a character flaw that he's not used to. But after talking to him for a short time, I recognized that he was an exceptional Talmud Chacham and had a unique, strong sensitivity to truth. So in other words, this neshama that he noticed, this particular man, hated Sheker with all his heart and couldn't go near Sheker. And it wasn't a fake thing. It wasn't a psychosis. It wasn't a mental illness. It wasn't an obsession. It wasn't something unhealthy. It came from the true depths of his neshama for real. He sensed that. And when he was ready to look for a wife, everyone knew that he needed a young lady who valued truth and hated falsehood. When he met his future wife, he was convinced that she was like him in all respects. What happened was, is in the few months, first months of his marriage, he caught her lying 3 times and was unable to continue living with her. He wanted to divorce her immediately, felt he didn't even need to give her a get because it was a mekach tos. You know, he claimed he was deceived from the beginning and the marriage was never valid in the first place and he didn't even need a divorce. And since everyone knew that he would never agree to marry a girl that's not completely honest, it was obvious to everyone that it was a mistake from the beginning. That was his machshava. So that's a little overboard, obviously. Now, Rav Moshe Shacharowitz made several attempts to change his mind. It was not successful. So finally, he took him to the stipler. This is a Peledika story. As he came before him, the stipler looked at both of us, and before I could say a word, the stipler asked the young man if he had any unique qualities. And the young man stood silently, not knowing what to say. And the stipler told him, "Say the truth." And not having much choice, the young man admitted that he had a unique attribute of truth, and he provided several examples which illustrated this special gift that he had. And after hearing what this man said, the stipler asked him, "So what do you think they think about you in heaven?" And not knowing exactly what he was expected to say, the young Talmud Chacham replied that in the world of falsehood, most people don't value truth, but in heaven they certainly do. because the chayisim of Hashem is truth. The stipel looked at the young man and yelled at him, and it says, in the eyes of heaven, you're a murderer. Now, knowing that the stipel wouldn't lie, the young man almost fainted on the spot. He gained in strength, he collected himself, and this man asked the stipler, who did he murder? And the stipler explained, he killed himself, he killed his wife, as both, and he killed both of their families, and he killed both their futures, and he will also kill someone physically. The stipler explained to him as follows, you must understand that the quality of truth within your neshama is unique, and such a soul is only sent to the world once every few generations. So, see, the stipler was makir that this young man wasn't full of nonsense. There was a true emistic purity in his neshama that sought emes, that was real. So, and the stipler acknowledged it. He saw it and he acknowledged it. He said, however, there's one problem. Complete truth cannot exist in peace within this world of falsehood. If such a neshama would be faced with the disgusting falsehood of this world, it would not be able to hold back from killing someone, literally. The only way for such a soul to enter this world is if it has a small amount of falsehood associated with it. Therefore, before your soul came, was sent to this world, there was a judgment in heaven to determine if they should add a little falsehood to your pure neshama or to your wife. This would present a neshama with a great challenge, having to exist with a small amount of falsehood. And in the end, they asked you, you choose to place the deficiency in your wife, and you committed to live with her in peace, and now you're asking for a divorce? She, your wife, because she has this little falsehood in her, prevents you from physically killing someone else. So at this point, either you will accept her as your wife, or your virtue of truth will turn destructive and will drive you to become a real murderer. And then the stipler added a line. The stipler said, you think this is your Gehenim, but in truth, this is your Gan Eden. And this trembling young Avreich immediately accepted the stipler's words and humbly went to appease his wife. This is an unusual story, but we don't know with ourselves, with our own spouses whom we marry, what is behind the scenes in our souls. Where Hashem is telling us this very lesson. You may not realize it, that this difficulty is your tikkun, and it's bringing you to bracha, and it's saving you from harm. Basically, to know in your heart and to think the possibility that this that you think that is your Gehenim, in truth could be your Gan Eden. The moral of the story of this lesson is that every Jewish home, problems that couples perceive as their Gehenim could actually be their Gan Eden. Everyone has a burden in this world. Some people with poverty, some people with wealth, some people with health, other types of situations, directed bashkacha pratis as part of the contribution to the tikkun olam and for one's own tikkun. And therefore, in that context, the deficiencies in one's spouse needs to be embraced as part of a portion that Hashem gave them in this world. So that is one concept of how to accept lacks and deficiencies, is to recognize it's all min hashamayim, as demonstrated by this story. Another one is that Ahava, v'kol psham t'chas ahava. Love covers all iniquities, all negative things. As opposed to one's own lacks that you need to fix, you need to fix your own lacks and deficiencies, but pertaining to your spouse, you need to accept them. They're not your problem, they're a solution. Sinat ha'er medonim, hatred awakens judgment, but v'kol psham t'chas ahava, but all sins will be covered by love. This is Mishlei Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis. There are many people that don't love themselves due to their shortcomings. That's not healthy, by the way. That's a separate issue. Rav Tversky talks a lot about it in the books he wrote about self-esteem. You could be accountable of yourself. You don't see something that you like in yourself. You could work on fixing it. But healthy people continue to love themselves in spite of their faults, and recognize that even if they have real problems, they can still know that in the bigger picture, they are a good person. They have to build on the fact that they are a good person, that they have a holy neshama, and they're worthy. And marriage calls upon a couple to ascend to a state of greater union, living together as one unified being, includes all their positive virtues as well as all of their shortcomings. Just as a person knows his own faults and still loves himself, so too, and that's healthy self-esteem, so too he can identify the shortcomings of his wife or husband and accept them with love. It isn't meant to be difficult. Once you recognize that your spouse is an extended part of yourself, you will allow your inner love for yourself to express itself to the other half, for your wife, for your husband as well. Another eitza about how to handle deficiencies is to accept faults with honesty. The Stipler's lesson is that the best way to deal with faults in one's spouse is to recognize that it's all for the person's best in the world, this world and the next. If that is not helpful to you, then there's other aspects that you could use to help. The students of Rabbi Saul Salanta taught that every person has a positive virtue which allows them to touch true greatness, but they also have a negative quality that could potentially bring them extremely low. There's no exceptions to this rule. Anyone who has self-awareness is aware of this. So when one honestly focuses on one's own shortcomings, it's easy to understand that just like you know that you aren't perfect, you know that you have faults, so your spouse is also allowed to have faults. And just like you love yourself despite your deficiencies, you can love your spouse with their faults and with their deficiencies. And that's a very, very important yesod to absorb. So even with real chesroinus, with real character flaws, as we demonstrated, to recognize that it's all min hashamayim, that the love should cover up these negative things, to look with ayin toiva towards it. With yourself, you fix it. Again, you don't bash yourself. You have to love yourself despite your faults, otherwise you won't fix them properly. And you move from it, and you work through it. But with your wife's or your husband's faults, you look at it with an ayin toiva. You can ask Hashem to help you with the process. You always ask Hashem for siyata d'shmaya and shalom bayis to help you with the process. Help me handle it the right way. Help me respond the right way. But you could love yourself despite your faults. You can love your spouse despite the faults. And as a separate thing, it is ma'ira rachamim. It's ma'ira rachamim. If you look with ayin toiva on your wife, on your husband, despite their faults, Hashem will look at you that way as well. He will see your faults and he will overlook them. And he will deal with rachmanis towards you. When you act with rachmanis, with compassion and mercy towards your spouse, towards your own husband and your wife, kemayim panim al panim, Hashem will turn to you. He sees your faults, but he loves you and he will overlook them. He will be patient with you with them as you try to work through it. Bracha v'atzlacha.